Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Don't forget to chant. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. It's awful quiet. We're not going to go beyond Jaya Radha Madhava until everybody sings, okay? Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijan Balaba Giribada Dhari. Jaya Gopijan Balaba Giribada Dhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Everybody who's not singing are the people that I'm going to call during class. Everyone who's not singing is all the ones I'm going to call during class. So sing, okay? Gopi Jana Balaba Giribada Dhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. You too. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Haribo. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paribhajakacharya Astotara Sata Shri Shriman. His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Shri Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Shri Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda ki jai, Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the happy devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane. Nivishesha Sunyavadi Pasyatya De Sitarane. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam, we can sing this together if you know it. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer obeisances unto the personality of Godhead. Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto the goddess of learning, the transcendental goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, who he's the author and the compiler. But we also want to offer our respects to Srila Prabhupada, because if he didn't translate it, it would be really hard to understand it, that's for sure. Most of us wouldn't even have heard of it. And you know what happens? By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that's troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. Almost. That's a lot. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as something that can be easily broken. Right? No? What? Oh, an irrevocable fact. But what does irrevocable mean? I don't know what that means. It's not revocable. You can't revoke it. You can't take it away. Sometimes you get your license, you know, and if you drive really bad, they take your license away. That's a revoked license. And then if you get in trouble after that, then you're really in trouble. But irrevocable means you get your license to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and it can never be taken away. Pretty good, huh? Hare Krishna. Okay, we're on text. We're in the third canto. We're in this chapter 21, which is a conversation between Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, and Kardama Muni. And we're actually right there in this conversation right now. We're on text number 50, and we'll talk about that. As you guys try to remember who Swayambhuva Manu is, who Kardama Muni is, and what their conversation is about. That's what you have to think about now while we're chanting the verse, okay? Nunam chakramanam deva. Nunam chakramanam deva. Satam samrakshanayate. Satam samrakshanayate. Vadhaya chattasam. Chasatam yastvam. Vadhaya chasatam yastvam. Harir shaktir hi palani. Harir shaktir hi palani. Nunam chakramanam deva. Satam samrakshanayate. Vadhaya chasatam yastvam. Harir shakti hi palani. Please chant. Someone or two. Nunam sankramanam devam. Satam samrakshanayate. Vadhaya chatsatam yastvam. Harir shaktir hi palani. Nunam chakramanam deva. Satam samrakshanayate. Vadhaya chattasam yastvam. Harir shaktir hi palani. Students? Nunam chakramanam deva. Satam samrakshanayate. Vadhaya chasatam yastvam. Harer Shaktir Hi Palani. Nunam Chakramanam Deva. Satam Samrakshanayate. Vadhaya Chasatam Yastvam. Harer Shaktir Hi Palani. Thank you very kindly. Here's the words for words. Nunam, surely, Chankramanam Namam, the tour, Deva, O Lord, Satam, of the virtuous, Samrakshanaya, for the protection, Te, your Vadhaya, for killing, Cha, and Asatam, of the demons, Ya, the person who, Tvam, you, Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shakti, the energy, He, since, Palani, protecting. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. But before I do that, I'm going to just say this. Omagyana timirandasya jananjana salakaya chakshu unmilitam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very forcibly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. And that leaves me totally indebted to Srila Prabhupada, and life after life after life, I beg for service at his lotus feet. Because I know that's a safe place. Serving Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet is a safe place. Okay, so here's the translation, and then we'll talk about where we're at here. The tour you have undertaken, O Lord. Did you notice that, that O Lord? Is there something unusual about that O Lord that you notice? It's not capitalized, exactly. So that means it's a respectful address to a person, not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. So the tour you have undertaken, O Lord, is surely intended to protect the virtuous and kill the demons, since you embody the protecting energy of Sri Hari, of the Supreme Lord. You embody that protecting energy of Sri Hari. So this is Kardama Muni speaking. Remember we were trying to remember who Kardama Muni was? How about from the older boys' class, can somebody, Nandulal can do it. He can tell us who Kardama Muni is. Just a little introduction with the little help of your teacher. That's good. Teachers are always very helpful. And someone else? There's only a few names that I know of the older boys. Shrini. Remember Kardama Muni? Any clue? Okay, here, I'll tell you. Because it's understandable. It's totally understandable if you just come in once a week that you might not remember what's going on. So don't worry, okay? You're all very intelligent personalities. Very. How do you like that? And they can't remember. Okay, I bet you some of the girls can then. Ha ha ha. Subhadra, where's Subhadra? There's a name that I remember. Okay, Subhadra, who's Kardama Muni, please? He's one of the progenitors. Yes. Okay, in other words, this is, okay, imagine the beginning of creation, okay? It's the beginning of the universes. So Kardama Muni and a few other people, 9 other people, they were Lord Brahma's first people that he created. And they had a big responsibility because out of the first 10 people that were there in the universe, they were supposed to produce more people to fill up the universe, starting from 10. That's a lot. You know, a lot of people that you have to propagate, whatever, give facility to, okay? So Kardama Muni was one of them. So his particular service was a big responsibility. So he decided, I better be prepared. And so I'm going to go off and do some austerities and penances and pray to the Lord for his mercy. Krishna, please help me. I bet you say that every now and then. Please help me. Please help me accomplish XYZ. So Kardama Muni went and performed austerities and asked, please help me get a good wife. Good wives are important. Good husbands are important too. Don't forget that part. Okay, get a good wife that will help me propagate the universe. So guess what happened? After performing austerities for a few days, was it a few days? No, it was a few years. 1,000 years. 10,000 years. Okay, now I remember. I just forgot all those zeros after the one. 10,000 years he performed austerities, and Krishna was very pleased. He was very pleased at his sincerity of heart, you know. And so he said, Krishna came before him. That's pretty amazing, huh? He was a special person. He performed austerities to please Krishna. Krishna came before him and said, I'm very pleased with you, but don't worry. I already know what's in your heart. Okay, here's an easy question. How does Krishna know what's in your heart? Yes, Anku. Because he is in your heart, so he hears it, right? So he hears all the good things that you pray for, only. He doesn't listen to the other things. He focuses on the good things. But he hears the other things too, so watch out. Okay, so anyway, and he said, don't worry, I already know what's in your heart, so I've already made an arrangement. In just 3 days from now. So Kardama Muni performed his austerities, 10,000 years. Krishna appears before him, and I'm going to send you a wife within 3 days. Pretty nice, huh? Krishna's very kind. Because it was for service, not for just, you know, he wasn't just praying for a good mark on his test so that he would look good. He was praying for something that would help him with his service, so Krishna helped like that. So this verse that we just spoke, that we just chanted, that where it says, I'm going to remind you what it says, the tour you have undertaken, O Lord, little l, is surely intended to protect the virtuous and kill the demons, since you embody the protecting energy of Sri Hari, is spoken by Kardama Muni. And who's he speaking to? Swayambhuva Manu. I heard that very vaguely. Okay, Swayambhuva Manu. So Swayambhuva Manu also, he's an important personality too. Swayambhuva Manu, you want to tell me who he is? Or you want to ask a question? Or you want to scratch your nose? You can say who Kardama Muni is. Didn't you already? Yes, he was the father of Kapila Muni. That's because he had such a nice wife. They gave such birth to such nice children. And Krishna said, I'll come as your child. Okay, so Swayambhuva Manu now, we're talking about Swayambhuva Manu. He was the emperor of the world. Not of the world, sorry, of the universe. Of the universe. Not just Earth, planet, not just, or even let's say, not just India, not just the Earth, planet, but of all the little planets, the moons and the stars and all the ones that you don't know about and all the ones that you do know. He was the emperor. He was in charge. And not only that, but he was the first emperor that ever came. So like, you're familiar with what we call the disciplic succession, right? Can somebody give me a brief explanation of what disciplic succession, what it means? Okay, what's your name? Gopika. Can you give us a... Yes, very good. Thank you, Gopika. Yes, it's all the pure devotees, all the spiritual teachers who... They've heard from their spiritual teacher, just like, let's take from Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, he heard from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. He's repeating the same thing that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta is saying, and his disciples are trying to follow and repeat. So that's a disciplic succession in the spiritual line. They learned the whole disciplic succession? Wow. Amazing. So you know that whole... So it's a line of people. So the teacher speaks, the student studies and learns perfectly, and then repeats the same thing. So it doesn't... The information doesn't get changed. Now that's the disciplic, the spiritual line. Swayambhuva Manu, he was in a line are starting the line, the beginning of the line of emperors, of rulers. So kshatriyas are administrators. They also have, the bona fide ones, have a succession of rulers. Swayambhuva Manu happens to be the first emperor of the whole universe, and he's going to create progeny, blah, 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 and they're going to, some of them are going to be qualified to be rulers again and again and again with principles of ruling. Now, this is some. Now we're talking about something that's pretty much not in place in today's world, that rulers have moral principles and they have duties and stuff. Mostly, it's much easier to talk about what they don't have, you know, virtuous qualities, et cetera, selflessness. They're a ruler. One of the prime duties of the ruler is to make sure that all the citizens are happy and have what they need. Doesn't happen very often in this society. Mostly the prime duty of a ruler, they're thinking, is to get as much money that they can for themselves, no matter who, or create as much power for themselves. But according to ancient tradition, and when people were more religiously inclined, spiritually inclined, the ruler's duty was to protect all the citizens. And if someone was causing a disturbance, then it was his duty to make sure that that person was corrected or reformed or chastised, taken care of. Just like school, for example. You can relate to that, right? When there's a class going on and people are participating, et cetera, and behaving, that's fine. But when somebody causes a disturbance and starts fighting with somebody else and throwing paper or spitballs or whatever they do these days, whatever, when the teacher notices that, she or he will try to curb that down because it disturbs everybody and they can't do what they're supposed to do in class, which is learn something, listen and learn. So, Kardama Muni, the sage, living in the forest, and he was living in a what? What was he living in? A little grass hut made out of leaves. He made it. He didn't want to spend a whole lot of time, you know, making a big palace because he didn't need it. He just needed a place to stay dry from the rain or whatever, you know. And he was living there in a little grass hut, and the emperor of the whole universe comes with his wife, his very beautiful wife, very nice wife, and his daughter, and he says, He came a couple of verses back, just a couple of verses ago. He came to Kardama Muni and said, "Haribo, I brought my daughter. Will you accept her?" And actually, they haven't even had that conversation yet. It's just the beginning. Swayambhuva Manu has just come into the ashram. So, what's Kardama Muni's duty now at this point? Kardama Muni, the great advanced sage who just saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he wasn't a nobody either. He was a very big somebody, a very big qualified, purified person. He starts to glorify, encourage, praise Swayambhuva Manu. Now, if I ever get to read the purport, which I'm going to do anytime now, in the purport, it says that Kardama Muni the sage's position, spiritually, his position was much more elevated than Swayambhuva Manu, who was also an elevated personality, but spiritually speaking, Kardama Muni, this simple little sage, was much more elevated. But he takes the opportunity to glorify Swayambhuva Manu for taking up this responsibility as a king, as the emperor, so seriously. So I think before everybody leaves, I should read the purport, huh? Okay, I will. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It appears from many Vedic literatures, especially histories like Srimad Bhagavatam and the Puranas, that pious kings of old used to tour their kingdoms in order to give protection to the pious citizens and to chastise and kill the impious. Now, bing, does that cause a memory of some story that you've heard from the first canto when it talks about Maharaj Parikshit. Can you remember when Maharaj Parikshit, he went on a tour too. Because he came in the disciplic succession of rulers, of pious rulers, he went on a tour. And on his tour, he saw somebody acting very impiously, especially for that time of civilization, that time of the year of history. Somebody was killing a cow. Somebody dressed up like a king, like a big, important person, was killing a cow. Maharaj Parikshit was shocked, totally shocked. How can that happen in my kingdom? Because unfortunately, the society and the consciousness level of society today has degraded so much that people can't even make a connection between how they treat other people and other living entities and how they get treated. If a person treats other living entities, not just humans, but any living entity, cruelly, they're going to get some punishment from that. Because why? Ansh already told me earlier. Because Krishna's in everyone's heart. He's in the heart of that bug. He's in the heart of those cows. He's in the heart of the fish. He's in the heart of the trees and everything. And if they're treated or mistreated, obviously, mistreated, then the person who mistreats them is going to what? Get the reaction. So here, it was the duty of the emperor or the ruler to make sure that people in general were happy and peaceful and they had what they needed and they could execute their duties, etc., etc. But not just that, but have a clear, happy mind in order to make progress in spiritual life. That's the real goal, make progress in spiritual life. But if you're starving and hungry and frozen and this and that, and the guy next door to you is tearing your house down or burning your house down, it's hard to be peaceful, isn't it? If you were in a situation like that, it would be hard to be peaceful. So it's the duty of the ruler to make sure that there's peace so that people can make spiritual progress, take advantage of the human form of life. You want to go shut the door? You can go shut it. Is that what you're saying? Okay, sorry. I thought you were complaining. Okay, so here's a little bit more. So this is about the Kshatriyas. Remember, I was just talking about the kings were used to tour their kingdoms in order to give protection to the pious citizens and to chastise or kill the impious. Sometimes they used to kill animals in the forest. So shouldn't they get the reaction for that? They used to do it not whimsically, not just for fun, not just for hunting, not just to torture the fox or the this or the that, but to practice the art of killing. Sorry, but they had to do that. Just like anyone who might be thinking of a career in medical science, if they're thinking of becoming a this or a that, it's most likely they'll have to do some surgeries. And it's not, easy to cut skin and see all that blood and guts and et cetera, et cetera. So they need to practice, unfortunately. But anyway, whatever. That's what they do. But anyway, so here the Kshatriyas would practice by killing animals in the forest because there's different circumstances, and that hone their skills. They would become better and better at it so they wouldn't waste their time or get killed themselves. Okay, Kshatriyas, here's Prabhupada explaining. Kshatriyas are allowed to commit violence in that way because violence for a good purpose is part of their duty. So violence for violence sake, for no reason, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about violence for a purpose. Purpose is really important. Purpose of establishing peace, etc., etc. Here, two terms are clearly mentioned. Vadhaya, for the purpose of killing, and asatam, those who are undesirable. The protecting energy of the king is supposed to be the energy of the Lord. That's Krishna has that protection, that energy of protection, that desire to protect people, because Krishna wants everybody's highest welfare. Not just, he doesn't want everyone to be a millionaire just for the sake of, a soft, gushy life. but he wants people to use their energy, their valuable intelligence for making progress, analyzing what's my goal, what's the duty, how can I be happy in this place that is actually so temporary and so full of miseries. I actually think I want another place. What's the other place? I want eternal life. And that eternal life as servant of Krishna, that's our real happy life. And that's why we can never be satisfied here, because we're not in our real place. But anyway, but that energy to protect, that's energy from Krishna. Krishna exhibited that. We hear it in the next canto too, canto 4, with Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj was the embodiment of the administrative characteristics of the Supreme Lord. Okay. The protecting energy of the king is supposed to be the energy of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 4:8, the Lord says, Paritranaya Vinashaya Dharma Sam. Thanks, good. The Lord descends to give protection to the pious and kill the demons. The potency, therefore, to give protection to the pious and kill the demons or undesirables is directly the energy from the Supreme Lord. And the king or chief executive of the state is supposed to possess such energy. And here Prabhupada says, in this age, it is very difficult to find such a head of state who is expert in killing undesirables. Modern heads of state sit very nicely in their palaces and try without reason to kill innocent persons. So why would someone have that mentality? Because they don't have the feeling of any responsibility. Being in an elected position or an administrative position, a position of such responsibility has consequences. The consequences are that, like we've been saying, that their duty is to make sure others are happy. Happy not just in the sense of sense gratification happy, but happy in the sense that they can peacefully execute their duties of making progress in spiritual life. But the disqualification of somebody in the modern age is that they're only thinking of I, me, and mine, and what's going to be good for me and my economic, my monetary interests. Now, here's a story that exemplifies modern life. This is a story that many, many years ago, when Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was visiting here, he gave a class, and he told this story from Mahabharata. And it was this, the setting is after the Battle of Kurukshetra. So Maharaj Yudhisthira is sitting on the throne, established as the emperor again of the world. And so his brothers, Bhim, he was there trying to help with the administration of the state as much as he could to his capacity. So if you remember some of your stories, that people in that time, they had access. If they had a difficulty or a complaint or a need, or if they saw some cheating or felt dissatisfied, they had access. They could go and present their complaint or their need or whatever to the king. So Bhima, he used to help in that regard. So one time, so Maharaj Yudhisthira, let's say he's in his assembly room, okay? And before you get to the assembly room, there's the entranceway. So Bhima was in the entranceway, and an older man came forward and said, he was all in anxiety, I have to see Maharaj Yudhisthira. I have to see him right away. And so Bhima thought, well, maybe I can help you. What's your problem? Maybe I can help. He said, I just saw an old man carrying a bucket, struggling to carry this bucket full of water. And he put it down because he couldn't carry it for so far. And then he poured to make it easier, he poured the full bucket into four smaller containers. So the containers were smaller and lighter and easier to carry. So he poured them into four smaller containers. But then when he thought, oh, that's going to give me four times as much work, he poured them all back into the big bucket again, okay? But this time, it did not fill up the bucket. He poured the water into four containers. He poured it back into the bucket, and the bucket was only half full. So I have to see Maharaj Yudhisthira. He has to explain that to me. And Bhima said, okay, go in, because he couldn't figure it out. He said, okay, go in and ask him. So he went in. And Bhima came busy with other things. And then another person came. He said, I have to see Maharaj Yudhisthira. It was a very similar situation. I just saw something I can't explain. What? I just saw a fence that was surrounding a vegetable garden. And the fence was eating and destroying the vegetables. I don't understand. What's going on? What does that mean? Bhima said, go in. Just go in and wait your turn and ask Maharaj Yudhisthira. Happened again, same scenario. Another person comes and, another person comes and he said, I just saw an elephant go through the hole of a fence and his tail got caught. Tail got caught. How did that happen? That mathematically doesn't make any sense, does it, teacher? No, thank you. Okay, then the fourth person came. Bhima said, go in. So none of the people had come out yet. Everybody went in to see Maharaj Yudhisthira, and Bhima's out there still guarding the gate, and then another person comes, the final person. The fourth person comes and said, I just saw the most incredible thing. I can't figure it out. I need an explanation. Bhima said, what was it? He said, I just saw a little, skinny, wizzly old man walking by a huge rock mountain, and that mountain had a vine coming down, and the little old man, he pulled on the vine like this, and the whole mountain fell down. What does that mean? Doesn't make any sense. So Bhima was getting a little curious, aside from the fact that all these stories were unusual and they're coming one after the other. What's going on? And Bhima was curious, why hasn't anyone come out yet? So he goes in and he says to Maharaj Yudhisthira, and he doesn't see any of the men there in the room. And he said to Yudhisthira, like, what, the strangest things are happening. Where are those men? Yudhisthira said, what men? No one's come in here. Like, more mystery. This is like a big, huge mystery. No one's come in here. Bhima said, no, I just sent four people, you know, one by one in. What's going on? And Maharaj said, what did they say before they came in? And he told them the individual stories. And then Maharaj Yudhisthira's reaction was even more bewildering. He started yelling, where are they? Find them. What's going on? Find them. We've got to capture them right away. Capture them? They're asking a question. Capture them. Bhima says, I am totally bewildered, my dear Yudhisthira. Hold on. What's going on? He said, these four personalities were qualities, personification of qualities of Kali Yuga. Now we need an explanation. Kali Yuga, when people don't have any qualification. He said, Bhima said, I'm still not clear what you're talking about. He said, look, the old man with the pot of water, okay? He had raised four children. He had worked hard his whole life raising these four children. And when he got old, those four children, none of them came to help him. And he had to struggle really hard. That's one of the characteristics of Kali Yuga. No respect for elders, or not very much. Okay, sorry. And okay. So then, but what about, what was the next one? The vegetables, thanks. The fence and the vegetables. What does that mean? He said, that means like a fence, right? Is supposed to be protecting. This is the connection between today's verse and this story. The fence is supposed to be protecting the vegetables or protecting the children in the yard or protecting whatever. But the fence itself is causing harm to those who he's protecting. That's a quality of Kali. That's a characteristic that happens in Kali Yuga. Sometimes religious personalities or people who claim to be religious exploit their subordinates or do bad things to their subordinates. Or parents don't protect their children properly, they do bad things. Or, you know, 10 million other examples could be given. We won't go there. But people who are supposed to, or even even people in the law enforcement service who are supposed to be protecting people, oftentimes under different circumstances, exploit the people that they're protecting. That's, you know, that was a quality of Kali Yuga. Then the third one is, what was the third one? Don't say it. What's the third one? The third example. Yes.
The elephant.
That doesn't make sense either, right? So Maharaj Yudhisthira explained, the elephant are all the important people in society, the ones that you look up for, the rich and the famous and the, you know, powerful and the this and the that. They can get away with anything. And the tail is the common people, the yous and me's, the little us. We get in trouble if we run a stoplight, we get arrested or whatever, you know, that's an exaggeration. But, you know, or we get in trouble for not paying our $20 worth of taxes or we whatever. But a big, famous, rich, whatever person can get away with those things and not get punished. That's another symptom of Kali Yuga. Now, the last one, you remember the last one? How about on this side? Remember what the last example was? One of the girls, not Subhadra, not Gopika. Oh, but, okay, you can do it.
The mountain,
what was the mountain made of? Little pebbles, cotton balls? Mountain of rocks. So the mountain of rocks, that is compared to our karma of past sinful activities. We have huge reactions of karmic sinful activities, bad karma that we should, you know, pay back, you know, by suffering. But what was that little string? Now can you get the idea what the little string was? I'll give you a clue. Hold on. I know you know. Here's a clue. I just happen to have a little string like that. The little string was hanging down from the side of the mountain. The chanting of the holy names can destroy all our karmic, bad reactions and imbue the living entity with a desire and even sometimes love of Godhead. It'll come eventually. So, yeah, little story that helps illustrate the difference of some of the differences in Kali Yuga. So, here's my question to you now. Any comments or questions or thoughts? Or Nalini? No? Think of something, because you're good at thinking and talking too. any thoughts or realizations or things you put together from other things that you've heard in your science class or your other classes? Or how about, okay, one more second, don't forget. Or any complaints? Okay, Nalini. Move your hand.
What?
Move your hand from your mouth because I'm reading your lips and listening to what you're saying. Go ahead.
So, Shakyas, they can kill animals to make sure they're better. So, does that apply for military?
That's an interesting question. That's a very good question. To repeat the question for the online audience. So, Kshatriyas were allowed to kill to make a better circumstance if there's some disturbance with the animals. Does that apply to military who have a service to do for their country or whatever? It does. And Prabhupada often gives that example. He often gives an example. A soldier can, in the war, he can kill hundreds of people, of enemies, you know. And he gets what? He gets a medal. He gets a rise in rank. He gets congratulated for that, for his talent. But if that soldier, after the war is over, if he comes back and even kills one person because he was in his way or he doesn't like him or whatever, one person, he'll go to jail, theoretically. He'll go to jail because it's not authorized. So someone who has a service, like there's a new policeman in Gainesville, that, and And it, sometimes we pray for his protection and his doing his service nicely. But sometimes he might, that's his job, right? Protect the citizens. If someone's robbing a bank, he's going to do whatever he has to do to stop that and protect everybody. So that person or any person, any other particular person might have to do that. And they're covered, they're protected by the law because they're doing their duty. But those who do that whimsically, kill or this or that or harm, they'll get the reaction. So, you guys did really good today. Thanks so much. Hare Krishna. So for the few of us that are now left, are there any comments or questions or corrections that you'd like to make? Okay, everybody's dismissed. Case closed. Class is over. Thank you very kindly. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.